Hi, this week the question is, what does the Bible say about Holy Spirit baptism? In Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, the Bible says, "And being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded the apostles not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Here, Jesus is assembled with the 11 apostles. You will remember that there used to be 12, but Judas, who betrayed the Lord, had killed himself, and there were now only 11. Jesus reminds this group of apostles that they would be receiving the promise of the Father. This refers to the Holy Spirit, as we learn in verse 5. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is here being limited to the apostles and the apostles only. In other words, if you were reading in the book of Mark, you would read about John the Baptizer promising people the Holy Spirit. Listen to what he said in Mark 1 verse 8, "I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." If we didn't know any better, we would think that John the Baptizer was making this promise to everyone in the world for all times. We might think, for example, that baptism in the Holy Spirit was something meant for us today. But this passage in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, helps us to understand what John was speaking about. This is the Bible interpreting itself. Jesus himself is explaining to us that the baptism of the Holy Spirit was not meant for everyone in the world, nor was it meant for all people of all time. It was meant for the original apostles who were gathered and remained in the city of Jerusalem. Question: what was this baptism in the Spirit going to do for the apostles? Was it going to save them from their sins? No, of course not. These apostles were already saved from their sins. By reading these first few verses of the book of Acts, we have many questions answered for us. Many people today mistakenly think that baptism of the Spirit is for anyone, and yet Jesus specifically said it was for the original apostles who were gathered in Jerusalem. Again, many people think that baptism of the Spirit was for the purpose of saving sinners from their sins, but these apostles were already saved. So we know for a fact that baptism in the Holy Spirit is not to save anyone from their sins. We can be saved from our sins without ever being baptized in the Holy Spirit. In fact, these apostles were already saved from their sins, and they weren't yet baptized in the Spirit. So then, what was the purpose of baptism in the Spirit? What was it going to do for the apostles? The Scriptures plainly teach us that the Spirit came to the apostles in a special way, and it came so they might be guided into all truth, and so that they might confirm or prove to everyone that they were indeed preaching the truth. In John 14:26, Jesus said, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you, the apostles, all things, and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." These apostles were just like ordinary men. They were prone to forget things. And so the Holy Spirit was to come upon them and help them to remember everything Jesus had taught them. In return, they were to write down what the Holy Spirit taught them so that others could know what Jesus said. You see, the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles was not just for their own personal benefit, but it was also for the benefit of others. In John 16, verse 13, Jesus said to the apostles, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you, the apostles, into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." According to this, the Holy Spirit was going to guide the apostles into all truth. Now, this does not refer to all scientific truth, or all mathematical truth, or all historical truth, but it refers to all truth necessary to live a godly life. Listen to what Peter said in 2 Peter 1, verse 3, "God's divine power has given to us, the apostles, all things that pertain to life and godliness." Again, this was not done just for the personal benefit of the apostles themselves, but they were to write these things down so that others could also know. Ephesians 3, verses 3 through 5. Do you realize what this means? It means that everything Jesus taught his apostles and everything necessary to live a godly life was revealed to those apostles, and they wrote it down for our benefit today. This means we don't need any additional revelation today because all truth was delivered to those apostles. We don't need any additional revelation today because everything Jesus taught was revealed to these apostles, and they wrote those things down. This means we don't need men today who call themselves prophets and apostles, because we have God's entire will revealed in the pages of the New Testament. We don't need modern day revelations that claim to have more of God's will, because all of God's will was revealed to his apostles and they wrote it down. We don't need the Pope who issues new decrees and new church laws, because all of God's will has been revealed and written down in the New Testament scriptures. We don't need the Book of Mormon, which claims to reveal more truth and new truth, because all of God's will has been revealed in the pages of the New Testament scriptures. Now, question, have the New Testament scriptures been preserved through the ages? How do we know that they haven't been corrupted? How do we know that these scriptures haven't been lost, at least some of them? How do we know that we still have all of the New Testament and that it is still pure and uncorrupted? My friend, listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24 and 25, the Bible says, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. You see, both Jesus and Peter, who quotes from Isaiah 40, have assured us that God's word has been divinely protected and preserved. Everything we need has been revealed and written down by those apostles of the Lord, and this was one reason they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, not to save them from their sins because they were already saved, but rather to enable them to write down and reveal the complete will of God. But not only did the apostles receive the Holy Spirit so they could reveal all truth, they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit so they could work miracles and confirm the truthfulness of the message they preached. Many people mistakenly think that the miracles were given for the personal benefit of individual people. This is not so. Listen carefully. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. The Spirit is given to each one of you for the profit of all. The Holy Spirit was given for the overall benefit of mankind, not just so a few people might benefit. And what was that overall benefit which was imparted to all? The miracles of the Spirit confirmed or verified the truthfulness of the scriptures which the apostles wrote. In Mark 16, verse 20, they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. In Hebrews 2, verse 3 and 4, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him, God also bearing witness with signs, wonders, and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his will. In summary, then, we have learned that baptism of the Holy Spirit was given to the apostles, not to all Christians of all ages. Next, we learn that the purpose was to enable the apostles to reveal all of God's will. We learn that once his will was revealed, it was written down and preserved so that we do not need so-called continuous revelation. And finally, we learn that miraculous power enabled the apostles to confirm or verify the truthfulness of the message which they preached. Miraculous power was not given for the personal benefit of any one person. Well, thanks for considering our message this week. We invite you to visit our website at www.willofthelord.com. That's willofthelord.com. there are no spaces between those words, willoftheLord.com. There, at our website, you may download the notes and the audio file of this message you just listened to. We invite you to call again next week when we consider a new subject on Bible Talk.